Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
From Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. You can follow along on the slides behind me. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up from the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Please be seated. Our psalm passage today is from Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. It can be found on page 471 in the Bibles provided underneath the seats in front of you. Page 471, Psalm 75, beginning with verse 4. To the arrogant I say, boast no more, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings down one and exalts another. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. It can be found on page 554. That's page 554, Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. The eyes of the arrogant will be humbled and human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, all the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains and all the high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, for every trading ship and every stately vessel, the arrogance of man will be brought low and pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Roger. I can't say go Browns to you, sorry. But you're my good friend. So thankful for you. Well, good morning to each of you. Thank you so much for joining us here at Mattis Avenue Free Methodist. I'm Pastor Sean, one of the pastors here. And it's been about 5 or 6 months, I think, that my wife Emma and my daughter Rosie and I are here. And also, we have another one on the way. So in case you didn't know, that's exciting. Exciting times in our church. We're growing. I guess I didn't tell her that I was telling everyone else that, but you know now, word's out. We're very excited for what's ahead here. We went to our first Illini football game on Friday, so that's awesome. I know nothing about the chants or the songs I'm supposed to sing, but it was a good time, and they won. So thank you for being very gracious to this Michigan fan. But we are here today, continuing our time in Daniel chapter 4. It's actually the first sermon on chapter 4, still written in Aramaic, this spot is. But I just had to recognize Pastor Wick's sermon last week, talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was this really awesome coffee shop that I frequented. Andy, if you want to throw that up. It was called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego Coffee Roasters. Yes. And I actually brought their coffee. And if you talk to Matthew Ashbach, he loves this coffee. And you can buy it. So I'll hook you up. I used to be here every day. And I'll be honest, every time I've had to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as a sermon, I've almost said Abednego like 15 times. So if it happens, forgive me. You know where I'm going. But yes, this is a great coffee shop. You may have seen this on Facebook. They had memes all over the place. People would be like, is this an actual place? And yes, it is. And it was 10 minutes from where I used to live. It was my sermon writing spot. It was one of those places where I walked in and the barista already knew what my order was. It was just beautiful. I haven't quite gotten there with Mad Goat yet, but we're building relationships, so it's working. But I figured I had to point that out. But as we begin today, I think we need to take a step back and recognize how beautiful it is for us to sit in one spot of Scripture, and how hard and maybe at times a little annoying it can be. I had a professor in college. He's actually, we called him the Dr. Reverend Brian Kono because he was one of our professors, but also our chaplain at Spring Arbor at the time. And he challenged us to do that, to pick a spot in the Bible to stay. And he told us that every morning during that semester, he was waking up at 5 a.m., he would go on a run, and then he would read something out of the first five books of the Bible. The Pentateuch. He was in Leviticus. I said, how in the world can you A, get up at 5 a.m., B, go for a run, and then C, sit down and read Leviticus and not fall asleep? But it was beautiful because he was learning so much and he kept sharing with us even a book that seemed very law and order and very hard to understand and read. He was giving us those insights every day. And the Spirit of God was so evident in Brian, and so we were able to just listen to him in his daily devotions. He would start class from Leviticus. And so, shameless plug for Pastor Sarah, that gospel reading plan that starts tomorrow, I'd encourage you to do that because it's landing you in the gospels. It's giving you just Jesus for, is it 30 days? Is that what it is? Up till Advent. Yeah, see, I don't even know. But I need to do it, so there you go. But it's one chapter a day. And it's beautiful that we can sit in Scripture. And so as we sit here in Daniel and we continue to walk through Daniel, I want us to recognize the Spirit of God in our life. So I want to ask you a question. When was the first time that you realized that God was present in your life? For some of us, maybe it was when we were small. We heard, Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so in Sunday school class. For others, it may have taken a long time to understand that God was with us all the time. For me, it came at a really small camp in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, in Carson City, Michigan. Most of you, if any of you, have probably never heard of that place. It's not super far from Mount Pleasant, where Central Michigan University is, but I grew up going to this camp of a denomination that had only six churches in Michigan. It was Church of God out of Findlay, Ohio. There's a lot of different variations of the Church of God, but my uncle was a deacon of one of the churches, and so they would do a family camp kind of for 1 week a year at this really, really old campground. And so I have a picture of the inside. That's a tabernacle. This is not what it looked like when I went there. This is the for sale picture that I found on Facebook. The entire camp, by the way, you can buy for $289,000. Pretty cheap. It needs some work. But I show you a picture. It's the inside of a tabernacle. Yes, I know what that is. And yes, I showed you the picture of a tabernacle so you knew, some of my older friends, that tabernacles are still cool. And they're not outdated. And that they're beautiful. But this one needs some work. So I grew up going into this. It was kind of awful at times because there was no AC and it was the middle of summer. But I'm preaching to the choir. A lot of you grew up at camps going to tabernacles. You just dealt with it. You opened the windows and closed it and all these things. But this camp's pretty run down. It's to the point where the dorms are not inhabitable. It would need to be completely destroyed and leveled to be rebuilt. This was the steps, the next place. Next slide. This is the dining hall. Not the greatest looking place. But for me, on the steps of the dining hall is where I really saw God clearly for the first time in my life. It's not a beautiful place by any means. It's not this crazy, insane camp like we are blessed with in many camps that I've gotten to go through over the summer, and shameless plug, Wabash Camp even. But it was there that I experienced God really, truly for the first time. And yes, I had heard about God. Yes, I had known who God was. My mom read me Bible stories, but it really just clicked with me that point when I was a freshman in high school. It took me until then to understand, wow, this means a lot more. Jesus means a lot more. And it was actually when the gospel was presented to me for the first time that I actually heard it. It took me till I was 14 years old. And I thought I was just going to that camp to pull pranks, because that's really what got me there. My cousin, who was a rebel, there was this old bell that we would use to like wake us up in the morning and would basically run our camp. If we heard the bell, we had to run to the bell, and then they told us where to go. Well, we would steal the dinger out of the bell. And so one time we stole the dinger out of the bell and we put it in the golf cart of one of the pastors running the camp. But one morning the golf cart left with the bell in the back on a trailer bed. And it was on I-75 when they figured out that the dinger was gone. And so we had to call them back to bring it back so that we wouldn't get fined by the camp. But those were the fun things. I wanted to go there to have fun, but then the Holy Spirit met me. So I ask you the question. What was the first time you realized that God was present in your life? I'm going to read Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 1. There's a lot of verses here, so you can remain seated. But let's read it. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that lived throughout the earth, may you have abundant prosperity. The signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me, I am pleased to recount. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and in his sovereignty is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living at ease in my home and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that frightened me. My fantasies in bed and the visions of my head terrified me. So I made a decree that all wise men of Babylon should be brought before me in order that they might tell me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners came in, and I told them the dream, but none of them could tell me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me. He was the one who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, who is endowed with the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him in the dream, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that you are endowed with the spirit of holy gods, and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Hear the dream that I saw and tell me its interpretation. Upon my bed, this is what I saw. There was a tree at the center of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew great and strong. It reached the top of heaven and is visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, and provided food for all. The animals of the field found shade under it. The birds of the air nested in its branches, and from it all, living beings were fed. I continued looking into the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and there was a holy watcher that came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, "Cut down the tree and chop off its branches. Strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from beneath it and the birds from its branches, but leave its stump and its roots in the ground with a band of iron, bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let him be bathed with the dew of heaven, and let his lot be with the animals in the grass of earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a human, and let the mind of an animal be given to him, and let seven times pass over him. The sentence is rendered with the decree of watchers. The decision has been given order by the of the holy ones, in order that all who may live and see, that all may who live and see the Most High is sovereign over the king of mortals. He gives it to whom he will sets over the lowliest of human beings. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, since all the wise men of the kingdom are unable to tell me its interpretation. You, however, are endowed with the spirit of holy gods. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that the Holy Spirit works through your word. And God, as we continue in this time together, praising you, Lord, may it be your words, not mine, that speak. And Lord, may you help us understand deeper of your spirit in our lives. We love you, Lord. Amen. So there's a lot of verses here. There's another dream that the king is calling upon Daniel to interpret. Now, there was a lot about what the dream was. Guess what? Newsflash, you're not getting that interpretation from me today. It's not what this sermon's about. You can wait till Pastor Wick comes up next week. But what I want us to recognize is all of these wise men in the kingdom in Babylon. I mean, they're some of the wisest people that they had to offer. And King Nebuchadnezzar would bring them in to interpret his dreams, and they would never be able to do it. We, as followers of Jesus, can sit here and read that and see he's not in for a good time. That's the most that I'm going to go for it. But it's not going to be good for King Nebuchadnezzar. But I want us to focus on the faithfulness that Daniel is showing time and time again. He has already humbled himself before this powerful king that, if you remember, and you've been with us, is off the rockers, to be honest. He goes from wanting to kill every wise person in the kingdom, as we see in Daniel chapter 2, to realizing that Daniel, who he names Belteshazzar, is wise, and is wise because of the God that Daniel follows. And so he begins to praise God. And then he appoints these incredible wise men as well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when they don't want to worship the king's holy idols, he wants to throw them in a fiery furnace. And then guess what? Those three individuals survived the fiery furnace. And the king then praises God again. He starts this chapter by praising God, the Father. But yet he's not fully sold out for the Lord. He's not fully given himself to the Lord. So Daniel, whom he calls Belteshazzar, if you remember Daniel chapter 1, verse 7, I'll go back. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel, he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. Yes, I'm probably mispronouncing some of those. I'm working on it. But the king gave them their names because these were pagan names. These were names that reflected the culture of Babylon. And these individuals decided to still remain faithful, even amidst the culture that was surrounding them. Their culture of Babylon was so countercultural to what they believed as followers of the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. Yet they humbled themselves before an empire that was corrupt, an empire that wanted power, an empire that wanted control. But it all boils down to this, as we see in these verses. God's spirit was in Daniel. The king saw it even in the midst of not even being fully able to give himself to the Lord. Multiple times he mentions to Daniel, you are endowed with the spirit of the holy gods, little g gods. So in the king's mind, he's saying, well, you have the spirit of my gods in you. Clearly, there's something different. But what he fails to recognize is he has the Spirit of the Lord in him. And he continues to realize that power. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was just this loose cannon, angry, ready to fire death upon anyone at any time. But what we see continually in these last few chapters is patience from Daniel. He gives a cautious approach to Nebuchadnezzar, who's somebody that's trying to figure out who God really is. You see, if we look back at these verses, all seemed perfect for Nebuchadnezzar. He even mentions he had everything he wanted. He was resting in his palace. He had the keys to the palace. He had the power he wanted. He had the control he wanted over Babylon. But he continues to remain to be a broken individual who keeps being warned by God in dreams. See, in verses 5 through 7, nobody from his empire, with his view, with his morals, with his lifestyle, could understand the dream. Because they themselves didn't know who our holy God was. They did not have the Spirit of the Lord in them. So it was clear that Daniel was the most trusted person in the kingdom. It's almost like Nebuchadnezzar knew that he was going to go to Daniel anyways, but he wanted to see if anyone was wise enough, anyone was smart enough to know what the dream said. Daniel's scope of influence was so big. I mean, he was right there with the king. He was sitting by the throne of the king with an influence that was so big over an empire that was so corrupt. And yet Nebuchadnezzar trusted him because he saw something different in him. He saw the Spirit of God in him without even knowing what the Spirit of God was himself. So as we look at our lives, we reflect on ourselves, we are to learn from these passages and that see that God's Spirit is always on the move and always working, even when we don't feel it working. I read a beautiful liturgy devotional a few weeks ago. And it is kind of a long paragraph, so I'll sum it up in this. Liturgy is not my, origin of worship. But when I came here, I started to realize the beauty of it. And how we all worship differently. And how the Spirit of God speaks to people differently. And it basically said, well, if you don't like the way the worship song sounds or you don't like the worship song, you should still praise God because it's still probably working for somebody else. Or maybe it's not even about the worship. It's about how the Spirit of God's talking to you. So maybe you're all sitting in a group of silent prayer and you're just not listening to God. Or you're not hearing from God, but somebody else is. We need to continue to praise God for the work of the Spirit, even if it's not in us. Because the Spirit of God is not for us. It's for everyone else. But it lives inside of us, and we need to continue to recognize that. So as we look at these verses, there's a lot here. There's 18 verses to go through. And most of it is the dream. I would encourage you to read over the dream to be prepared for next week. But what I want you to focus on is how a king over an empire trusted somebody filled with the Holy Spirit without even knowing what the Holy Spirit was. So we are called to be a people guided by the Spirit of God. So I want to give you a few takeaways from these scriptures in lieu of Daniel's life. First off, something is simple. You've probably heard it many times. The Spirit of God is always working. It's true. And even when we don't feel like it's working, I'm quoting a song at this point, you probably know. The Spirit of God is still working. It's still moving. It's still present in our life. It's working right now in this very room. Do I know who is working in? No, because guess what? I'm not supposed to be God. And neither are you. But the difference between the kingdom of God and the empire of the world is that individuals recognize that the Spirit of God is in them. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that the Spirit of God could be in him, but he was with an individual of Daniel who did. Daniel was living a different life, separated from culture. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, we have seen them standing in the gap between the kingdom of the empire and the kingdom of heaven multiple times in these first four chapters. They put their lives on the lines multiple times for the glory of God. They still stood in the gap and went against the empire of Babylon, but in a way that was humble, in a way that was peaceful. Because they knew that their God was with them. They knew that the Spirit of the Lord was with them. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to bring the same peaceful, cautious approach to those in the kingdom of God, just as Daniel did with King Nebuchadnezzar. When we are trying to show the Spirit of God to people who do not know the Spirit of God is present and working, we have to bring a cautious, loving, humble approach. Philippians chapter 2, which is a chapter of Philippians I continue to go back to in my life, starting in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not in my presence, but much more in my absence, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for the good of his pleasure." God is at work in us. Those who follow Jesus possess the Spirit of God within them. And so the world will begin to see us differently, not just by our actions and our words, but simply by the inner peace that we have of knowing Jesus. And so the inner peace that Daniel possessed was by knowing the work of the Father. Number two, this might be a little hard for some of us. God is in us, not in empires. See, empires are self-centered. They want power. They want control. But followers of Jesus are focused on the kingdom, focused on people who need to know who Jesus is. And they posture themselves towards the Father, and people who know Jesus and have that inner peace are more effective leaders that are not concerned about having the most power, the most control, none of that. They want to humbly live a life worthy of Jesus. See, even Nebuchadnezzar in his arrogance understood that there was something different in Daniel, but there was that inner peace and hope that he possessed. See, our world continues to praise the work of empires. Our world continues to praise the work of the leaders that reflect their values. But may we take a step back and recognize who our true identity is in. Who our true king is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you, my beloved, you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in his craftiness.'" You see, let's look at the magicians and the enchanters of Babylon. They were wise in the sake of the world, but yet none of them could interpret the dream from the Father. Paul's writing and saying, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Sometimes when we think we have this worldly wisdom and we have it all figured out, It looks foolish to our Father because we're not thinking with a kingdom focus. We're thinking with a world-focused mentality. It doesn't mean that the world and the kingdom of heaven can't coexist. You can work for the empire but be focused on the kingdom. That's something for us to understand. Finally, we need to recognize that there is unity in the Spirit. If we, the examples of the Father at work, if Jesus at work, are at war with one another over theology, politics, carpets, bulletins, money, or any other minute aspect of life, we will simply begin to become a church of the empire and not a church of the kingdom. We need to be unified because if we, as followers of Jesus, the people who show Jesus to the world, are fighting with one another, we're not showing Jesus to the world. We look at the Spirit of God in Daniel. It was a humble, cautious approach. He was at the front lines of culture, a culture that eventually will be destroyed. A kingdom that will eventually fall. Sorry, spoiler alert. And yet, he worked for that kingdom. And he showed the power of unity with the Father in that kingdom. So when we leave these doors, we go back out into the world. And listen, our brothers and sisters, we can disagree on all of those things that I just listed. We're allowed to because we're human and we have all been raised differently to think differently and to see differently. But when it comes to Jesus in the kingdom of heaven and to the holy scriptures that we've been given as a guide, may we not quarrel with each other. It's beautiful to have friends that think, look, act, and vote differently than you do. In fact, I encourage you to do it because it humbles us. So Daniel, in the midst of the kingdom, was in a place that was so different than what he would want to be and where he would want to worship, yet he still faithfully served it. John chapter 13, 34 and 35. Simple, you've heard this before. I give you a new commandment that you just love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. We represent God's kingdom. We need to not carry that responsibility lightly. So when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go into places where it is a world-focused mentality and not a kingdom of heaven-focused mentality, know that you still carry and possess the Spirit of God in you so that people can see the beauty of God revealed. So we are never to live our lives postured towards a king or an empire, but rather towards King Jesus, who took a peaceful yet bold approach to true life with the Father. So don't put your hope in kings. Don't put your hope in an empire. All of them will pass away. The kingdom of God has not and will not pass away. That is where our hope should be. As I had a weekend to think over this, the ending of this sermon. It happens to pastors every now and then, they add something. But I have a great friend who's in his mid-60s, I think early 70s, named Ken. And Ken's a part of Emma's family, family friends, but I've known Ken for a long time. And he is a person of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I'm getting choked up about it. But he's a person that you are in the presence of, and it's just peaceful because you know that the Spirit of God is in him. And every year I get to go on a little bit of an extended weekend trip to Mackinac with Emma's family friends, and Ken's one of them. And every time we just sit on this beautiful beach together, kind of just looking at ships that cross. And it's awesome because that man knows so much more about what ship is what than I ever will. He knows so much about the history of the island, and he's a big history guy. But I've never seen Ken angry. I've never seen Ken distraught. I've only seen Ken at peace. And Ken has been serving in his church for years upon years. I don't even know how many. He's a pianist, but he also is a fifth and sixth grade leader and has been for so many years. And he has been a part of continually raising up disciples in his church and in his community. And I just think of every time I leave a conversation with him, I feel more filled with the Spirit. I feel like I had an encounter with somebody that knew what it was like to be a part of a kingdom-focused mindset. And so this weekend, I get to spend a little bit more time with my friend. He's also an avid runner, and so he's going to run a race around the island because there's people that do that. But he's such a disciplined person that I've loved to be around. And so it makes us better followers of Jesus to know that there are people that we can rely on. And you can be that person one day for somebody else. You can be that peaceful, calm presence that walks into a room full of chaos. You can be that person that can calm people down in the chaos of their life. So I have some questions for you to ponder. What is the Spirit of God doing in your life right now? Have you invited the Spirit of God to speak into you? Who is it guiding you to? What is it guiding you to? Where is it guiding you to? We take moments to simply pause, like Pastor Wick did. I counted, it was more than 20 seconds, by the way. But that's my brain being like, you need to be okay with silence. Take time in silence. Be okay with silence. It's funny when I ask a question to teenagers at youth group and I hear no response, I'm just ready to ask the next question so they'll respond. But really, I've realized I need to just let it be silent for a bit so that it feels even more awkward for them. It doesn't have to be that way. So I'll leave you with this from 1 Corinthians 3 when we just read it. Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? I wish Daniel could have came back to Nebuchadnezzar and asked him that. But he wasn't ready to hear that at that point. But do you know, beloved, that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And that when you walk out these doors, that same Spirit of the Lord is with you at your workplaces on, well, this week, Tuesday. In your schools, in your communities, in the places where people are not living for Jesus. You don't have to be the overzealous Christian that says, repent now, turn to Jesus. No, you can simply just be a friend. Simply be a Ken in someone's life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder of your Spirit that you showed so deeply and evidently in Daniel, in these scriptures, who was faithful to the kingdom in the midst of being a part of an empire. May we continue to be focused on you. May we continue to recognize that the Spirit of God is always on the war, always on the move. Be with us today as we worship together. Love you, Lord. Amen.
I invite you to sing this with me. If you need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit, to come unto Jesus. Jesus, all you who are weary, come to the
receive this benediction today. Go as followers of Jesus who recognize the Spirit of God at work in and around every moment of your life. May you be blessed and walk in the presence of the Father this week. We love you. Amen, Jesus. Go and